It's good to be here this morning. Praying that the Lord would have us to continue with the service today. This is His work, and I love Him and give Him all reverence because, in fact, without Him, there's no service. We need the Holy Spirit to move, and man can't do that. We can't instruct God and direct God by our ways and point our finger. But He does it according to His will, and He will honor us. It's an honor for us to have His presence. And if we're hungry for that, then He will meet with us, even when we're not worthy. And I'm thankful for that, because we need that. And so it's a refreshing. It's a drink of good water, cold water. And better than that, I just don't know how to put it in words. But it's good, and it's encouraging. And we need it. Souls need it. Souls need to be saved. People are blinded. The Bible tells us that the god of this world, that's Satan, he's blinded the minds of the world. And only hope they have that the good news of the glorious gospel, good news of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Like the song says, I have good news to bring, and that's why I sing. With Jesus I am an heir. Too much fault you find, you'll sure be left behind while I go sailing through the air. And I got good news to bring this morning. And Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I tell you, He's willing and ready to save you. But you must humble yourself. I see the Lord lets you see things. And I know the devil, he's not going to let up. What I mean by that is I see some that really never really heard the Word of God like they need to. Really never heard it. And the devil tries to disturb us. But this is a time just to try to humble yourself and listen and pay attention, because that's the only hope you got. That the gospel should shine to you. And be willing to receive it. I tell you, there's nothing in this world. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy you. You can run it. You can taste of it. You can partake of it. But it's not going to satisfy you. I tell you, you can take my word for it, and most people don't. But I tell you, there's nothing in this world that will satisfy what you're trying to satisfy. There's an empty void. There's an empty vacuum inside your soul. And the only way that you're going to fill that is with Christ. You must be born again. You must be reconciled to God. And you will not find it in the world. The counterfeit, that's what the devil does. He counterfeits everything that God has. He does everything. You look in your Bible and you'll see that. And he tries to play God. He tries to play with you in your mind. He tries to tell you you're young and you know a little bit more than the ones before you, and you more a little more than your parents, and you know just a little bit more than the preacher does, and so forth. And you're going to go out and you're going to taste of this and taste of that, and you're going to have a good time and so forth. But you won't. I promise you, you're going to end up empty. You'll end up defeated and beat down because you went the way of sin, and sin always destruction destroys. I tell you, it always leaves you empty and stripped and beat. Like the man, the Bible said, that left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. He left the land of peace and went down to Jericho, the city of sin, and he fell among thieves. And you'll be stripped and beat of everything. Just everything about you. You'll lose even sense of having any kind of anything about yourself. I mean, he'll strip you of your virginity. He'll strip you of every dime you got. He'll strip you of your family. He'll strip you of everything. That's his goal. You got to realize that Satan is that roaring lion walking to and about, seeking whom he may devour. And that's what he does. He don't do it all at once. He devours a little at a time. And that's what he's doing. He's going to strip you of everything. And there you'll be left empty. And if you don't come to Christ and repent, then you'll lose your soul. The Bible said, what can a man give for exchange of his soul? If a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, what would he do? I mean, if he gained the whole world and lost his soul, he lost it all. You know, Satan has power to offer you the world. He offered Jesus that, you see. And the Bible said that you can have all this life has to offer, But you lose your soul, you lost it all. Your soul is your real you, your real being. And the Bible said that when you was born in this world, you was born a sinner, destitute, hell bound. That's why you were. You was born that way. And you come to understanding, then you become a sinner by choice. And then you die in sin, you will go to hell like that. But there is a way out. There is a way. There's a straight and a narrow way that leads to life. There is a door that you can go through. And it's the door of life. Jesus is the door. He said, I'm the door. I'm your way out. I'm your the way that I'm the one that will make you new. I will adopt you. You see, you belong to Satan. You belong to the god of this world. You are a servant of sin, but I can make you new, and I will adopt you, and you become my child if you'll come and trust me and believe in me and be sorry that you sinned against me. Repent over your sin, and I will take you in, and I will block out all your sins you've ever done and never bring them back to my remembrance again. And I will forgive you, and you'll become my child. And I will comfort you and lead you and guide you. And I'll prepare a place, a mansion in heaven for you. I thought about that as I read that this week. It's wonderful to know that I got a mansion in heaven. You know, He didn't promise me the mansion down here. He didn't promise me the best that life had to bring, and a brand new car or this or that. He's blessed. He blesses at times to have things, but He don't owe me nothing. But I tell you, He did say there's a mansion in heaven. He said that if we lay up our treasures in heaven, then that's what we'll have. The Bible says that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And what are you minding this morning? What are you running after? Well, that's what's in your heart. That's what's got your heart. And so today, I want you saved. I want you born again. I tell you, the Lord's dealing with somebody strong this morning. And I know it. I sense it. You know, I'll tell you right now, I'm nothing. But I have been saved and I have been called, and that's not a boast. But I have learned some things. And I do learn. And I do know the presence of the devil. And I do know the presence of the Lord. And I have dealt with situations before. But that's because He's permitted me to do that, to know how to conduct and what to do and understand where people lie. And so I'm not condemning you. The Word of God will condemn you as a sinner because you come short of that, because you can't keep the law. You can't justify yourself by good works. You'll come up empty every time. But there's one, my friend, there's one that will forgive you, and He will do the work through you. He will clothe you with His righteousness. Your righteousness is not good enough. So you're going to have to be clothed with the righteousness of God. He clothes us. Isn't that wonderful? He even clothes us physically. I read that this morning how He said, seek those things which are above and not on things beneath. But He said that He will take care of us. He said if he knows the sparrows and knows about the sparrows and He keeps them and He feeds them, they don't sow, they don't reap, but yet He feeds them and He takes care of them. He said, you are more than that. He went on to talk about that and how that God meets our needs. If He so clothed the grass of the field, so He would clothe you. And I tell you, He clothes us physically, but most of all, He clothes you spiritually. And if you don't have this wedding garment on, if you don't have this garment of righteousness that Jesus has given, when you stand before God at the time of judgment, you'll be cast out into a lake of fire, which is the second death. You won't get to heaven. No matter what you've been taught, what people tried to tell you before, the Bible said if you're not saved and you die like that, you'll never get saved. And you'll burn and you'll die in a lake of fire. And I don't want you to go there. And I know it's not a popular message, but it's a message that must be preached. You must be warned about the wrath to come. You're young and you got a lot you want to experience, and God knows that He wants to save you and make a real woman out of you. He wants to make a real man out of you. And He will do that. And He can do it for you. He'll take that desire out of you to sin. But I tell you, He's already paid the price. He's already done the work. And the door is there. You just got to come through the door. Believe the message that's being preached. Believe what God spoke to your heart about. You know, the devil don't want you listening. I tell you, I know when the Lord's giving it, because the devil gets disturbed. I see Him moving in the minds and the eyes and the actions of the body. And I understand that. I was there once myself. I understand that, but I tell you, just I know the enemy and what he's doing to you right now. So he don't want you to hear what's being said. But don't listen to him. Listen to what's being said. Take it to heart. Take it home with you. Meditate upon this. Listen to it. Ask God to have mercy. Life is short. Life is short. You'll miss everything. You'll lose it all. There's so many young people dying today. I mean, just car accidents. I mean, just people being shot and killed. Some dying of bad health. Just young kids having cancer. I mean, just all types of things going on. And people die. That's one thing that's for sure in this life is death. The Bible tells us the preacher of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Solomon himself talked about this. He talked about there's no discharge in the war of death. There's no one going to have a discharge of that. You're going to face death. I'm going to face death. But are you ready when you do face death? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to stand before Him? And the only way you're going to stand before Him justified is having that wedding garment on. You got to have it. You get that here. You get it now. When He's dealing with you now. You don't wait till tomorrow. You do it now. You seek God now. And when you do, you'll be so glad you did. It's easier for you to pour out your heart when God's breaking your heart. Later, you won't even think about that. You'll be thinking about what you want to do and so forth. It won't be as strong. It won't be pulling at your heart door so strong. And so you won't have that broken heart. So, but if He's dealing with you now, this is when you just open up and cry to Him. You can pray right where you're at. You can come to the altar at any time in this church. You don't have to have an altar call. If you need to come to the altar, you want to pray at the altar, you come to the altar. You pray at the altar and ask God to have mercy. Block it all out. No matter what people think, no matter what people may try to judge you or whatever, don't worry about the thoughts. Just come on down and pray and seek God for yourself. And you'll be so glad you did. The invitation is still given. He is still calling souls to repentance. He is still giving an invitation to come. Won't you come and taste of the water of life freely? And when you do, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's so good. I mean, even when you don't do what you're supposed to, you know something's happened on the inside. You know you've been saved and born again. And I tell you, God desire to please Him. We just got to go on and do it. We got to do our best to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Running this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I tell you today, if you're not saved, you need to come. He's wonderful. It's better than wonderful. I tell you, He'll put something inside of you, and I know you have fear. Fear is common to man, and everybody has fear. And you live in fear. And I tell you that you try to have some type of boldness and confidence in your flesh I'm talking about. I'm talking about unsaved. And you have this type of boldness and confidence you think. And you know, you're a little witty. And you know, the devil, he loves a mind like that he can control. Because he knows who's controlling the matter. He knows he's controlling it. But you don't know that. And so he does. And he's taking you down. But there's no coincidence that you're here. The Lord has sent you here. Whether you realize that or not, the Lord has sent you here to hear this gospel that you may have hope of being saved. That's why you're here. I tell you, that's God speaking to you. You're precious to Him. The Bible said that precious is the souls to God. Your soul is precious in His sight. He don't condemn you and hate you because you've done wrong. He hates the sin, but He loves you. And He died for you. He gave His Son to die for you personally. Every one of us personally. He died, you see. We know He died for the world. And He died for us. Each one of us. And all the sins that we would commit and are going to commit. He's died for that, you see. Because He loves us. And He knows us all by name. He knows everything about us. And no matter what you've done, His grace is sufficient. No matter how deep the sin of stain is gone, I tell you, He can go deeper than that. The blood goes deeper than the stain has gone. That blood will wash away all sin. All sin is forgivable except the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. I've been thinking about that lately. The Lord's been speaking to me about that lately. And I tell you, it's very important that you don't blaspheme. You to honor and reverence God's presence when it's around. I tell you, I don't even, if God's moving on somebody, I mean, this morning, Sister Marie, that was the Lord. I, 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 I couldn't raise my head up and look. I'm just saying, God, have mercy on me and help me. Bless her, Lord. Bless what needs to be said. We need to have great reverence about the Lord and His presence. And so there's people that the devil gets a hold of their minds and they come to a point where they will laugh out and they will talk about that and they'll make jokes about that. And you need to be careful. I mean, I'm not up here to say I know exactly what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. I don't, God does, but I know that He's given a warning about this, and He has been given a warning. So there's people that are here and that may be hearing this message need to take heed to this, because the fact is very serious. And people can blaspheme, and you can blaspheme today and never be saved and lose your soul. So you need to have that fear and to reverence God's presence. Saved and unsaved need to reverence. No child of God can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. He's not going to separate Himself. That's what He said. He said, they called Him a blasphemer. They called Him a devil. They called Him and said, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub, the devil. And Jesus had to tell them, said, look, He said, if Satan cast out himself, he's dividing himself. He said, I'm not of the devil, I'm of God. I'm the man of God. And so he rebuked the demons out of them. But they blasphemed. They were speaking out against what God, the Holy Spirit, done, you see, through him. And you're not to do that. And I've seen people do that. There's one that I feel in my heart for sure that this man blasphemed the Holy Ghost. It saddens my heart. It grieves me. But we were preaching in the jail and the Lord's presence was strong. And He used me. And at the end of the service, He got up behind that little pulpit they have. And He hit that thing and He started laughing and looking out, thought that others would laugh at Him. I mean, this man was totally controlled by demons. And I believe he blasphemed. I really do. And that saddens me. But people do that. Some people, that's when you get uncontrollable. And that's what Satan wants to do to your minds. Take hold of your minds, all of you. All of you, unsaved, the devil's got you, but he wants to control your mind. He offers you things. He has that power. He knows right where you live. He tells you, well, you're not saved, so it's okay. It's all right to do a little bit of dope. You're not saved, go ahead. It's all right to drink a little bit. You're not saved, go ahead. Enjoy yourself a little while. Yeah, you'll come later. Yeah, you'll trust God later to get saved, but have some fun. You see, he's a liar. You're not having fun. You're not having real fun. You don't know what fun is. It's just a pleasure for sin for a season. He's trying to keep you from being saved and really enjoying life. But that's what he does. Enjoy yourself a little while. You see, that little bit of smoking marijuana goes into something else. And that little bit goes into that. And then before you know it, you're on the hardest thing there is, because the fact that don't satisfy you no more. You smoke marijuana, you got a little bit out of it, you got a little pleasure from it. When it really don't do anything anymore. You've done so much of it, you get immune to it, so you go to the next thing. And then that don't work, and then you just pile things on top of things. Let's take this pill, that pill, and let's do this and do that, and let's just see if I can't get a little bit more, because I'm not feeling it no more. And then continue on. It's a process of killing yourself, slowly but surely. And that's what's in all that. Satan's controlling all of that. And see, your body depends on it. Your body makes you think you're hurting when you're not hurting. You can have some pains, but I tell you, this stuff is, I mean, it's powerful. And it's hard. They tell me you do one time and you're hooked. And you're addicted. It's terrible. And I know they're in a bad match. But I know who's greater, and I know who can deliver, and He will deliver if they trust Him and believe Him and call on Him, pour out their heart, fall on their face before God. I promise you that He will hear that prayer. If you're sincere and earnest and honest, I tell you, He will forgive you and He will have mercy on you and take that desire out of you. He's done it for many here. And He'll do it for them. And He'll do it for you. But don't play around with it, folks. Young folks, don't play around with it. Don't play around with sin. Don't go out and about. I tell you, all this stuff in the world is just foolishness. And sin will destroy. And I hate it. I hate sin. But I tell you, don't run that way. Lord will bless you. Do things the right way. Be honorable in the way that you do, and God will bless you. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and you shall live long on the earth. You're to obey your parents. You're to respect your parents and love them when they tell you right. When they tell you to do the right things, you're to do that. And so forth. Those that love you, aunts and uncles and people that love you and care for you. Even your older sibling. Listen to them. They tell you right things, listen to them. Listen to people that want to help you and tell you the right thing. I tell you, if you don't, I tell you, that's the type of rebellion, and you're not wanting to hear the truth. But hear the truth. The Bible says, if you know the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth. And as long as you're in darkness and don't know the truth, you're there you are. You don't know your left hand from your right hand, spiritually speaking. But now that you've heard the truth and the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, you know the truth now. You know it. And it's going to follow you. And it's going to deal with you. And I tell you, you can push it off. And you continue to push it off. God is long-suffering. Thank God. And He's merciful. And He's going to continue to deal with you. But if you continue to push Him off, maybe come a day where He won't deal with you again. So the day's the day. And don't push Him off to tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow brings for. Satan has got you, and his goal is to kill you. His goal is to destroy you today. His main goal is to get your soul. He's already got it, but he wants to have it completely. In other words, that you have no hope of being saved. And that's what he's after. And he'll do everything to get it. He'll offer you everything in the world to get it. You see, he'll follow you down that path of destruction. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And very few that find it. But straight is the gate that leads unto life. And very few that find it. There's no discharge. I'm going to say that again. In the war of death. There's no discharge in that. You know, I'm not afraid to die. When I got saved, he took that fear out of me. I'm not ready to die today. I don't want to leave my family. I know. I feel that there's more work that God wants me to do. But I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not worried about the hereafter. I'm not worried about what happens when they take this body and they put me 6 feet under and cover me with dirt. And when the canker worm comes to eat my body, I'm not worried about that. Because I'm already gone. To be absent from my body means to be present with the Lord, you see. And one day, O grave, where is thy victory? O sin, the Bible says, O sin, O grave, where is the victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God. Thank God. He's delivered me. One day I won't have to worry about that. It's going to be, in other words, I'm going to get up. If I die before He comes, I'm going to get out. The grave can't hold my body down is what I'm saying. Oh, great words, the victory of it, you see. He's not going to hold my body down. It's going to be a bodily resurrection. I've already been resurrected on the inside, you see. When He saves you, that's what happens. You're dead and trespasses in sin. But He will resurrect you, you see. He will resurrect you. You got to die to self. You got to say no more to me. I'm not following me anymore. I'm not following what I want no more. I want to be saved, so I'm denying myself. I'm dying to myself. I'm asking You to forgive me. I'm saying these vows unto You, Lord, that I'm going to forsake my way. I'm going to forsake my sins, and I'm going to serve You. Forgive me my sin. That's what You're doing. And when that happens, He resurrects your soul right then. When you really mean it with all your heart. And now you're a child of God. You're still housed in the same body. But you are a child of God because you've been resurrected on the inside. But there's going to be a day coming when your body's going to be resurrected. You'll have a glorified body to go with the glorified soul. And that's going to happen. But you see, if He gets you so now, that won't ever happen. You'll have a body all right, but it won't be a heavenly body. It'll be a body of death. That will continuously to die. That will never, ever have any kind of just death and it's all over. You know, that's another lie the devil tells. Well, if I die, it's all over. I won't suffer no more. Or if I go to hell, I won't be there by myself. Let me tell you something. Hell's going to be full, all right, but you're not going to know who's there. You're not going to be able to see anything. It's so dark. And it's so, I mean, it's, you're going to be in a weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. You won't be able to think about nothing else about why did I not call? Why didn't I obey God? Why did I not humble myself before God? That's what you'll be doing for eternity. That's what you'll be doing. You won't be playing around and cutting up with your buddies. It won't be none of that. That's just a lie from the devil. But that day's coming. And that day's come for some already. The Bible said there was a certain rich man and he fared sumptuously every day. And there also was a certain man named Lazarus. This was a man, a beggar, and he was at his gate. And the Bible said the beggar died, and also the rich man died, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment in the flame. He tells us about hell. It was in the heart of the earth at the time. And that's where it is now. And paradise was there. And he saw Abraham far off in Abraham's bosom. He saw Lazarus there being comforted and him himself being tormented. You see? Lazarus made the right decision. The rich man did not. And the rich man looked over and seen that. And he seen him comforted and seen him tormented. And then when he began to realize that there was a great gulf fixed and that there was no way out for him to get out and no one to come to him to give him any relief, then he had a prayer for his brethren. Father, I have five brethren. Father Abraham, I have five brethren. And tell them not to come to this awful place. I'm in torment. And God help you. That's why God gave His Son. And that's why Jesus died. That you wouldn't have to taste of a death that's so terrible and horrible. But man does that to himself, you see. God didn't create hell for you and me. He created for the devil and his angels. But you need to come to Him this morning. You need to seek God with all your heart and be saved. Life is short. If He came right now to get His church out of here, where would you go? Where would you go? If the Lord came this morning and He got His church out of here, you would die and you'd go to hell. That's where you'd go if you're not ready. If you're not ready to meet Him today. The flesh tells us we got plenty of time. Satan says you got plenty of time. But if the rapture took place today, where would you be? If you died in a car accident today, where would you go? This is serious. And you need to think about this. Get your sins forgiven. Come to God. And I tell you, you'll have a true life. You'll have real peace. You'll have real joy. And you'll have love. Everything. I mean, He'll complete. The Bible said in the book of Colossians, I believe it's in Colossians, now you are complete in Him. He'll complete everything. He'll fill that empty void inside you. He will satisfy you. I talk to people, especially in these jails, and a lot of their testimony, a lot of them will just talk about, they said, I just feel like I'm taking up space. I feel like that and there's no purpose for me. You know, they feel like they went and hit bottom, and a lot of them have hit bottom. They feel like there's no way up, no way out. They've come to that point in their life. And that's where you'll come to. If you go down that way of sin, that's what's going to happen to you. That's exactly what you're going to hit rock bottom. But here they are, and they think there's no way out. But there is a way out. And there, His way is called, and His name is called Jesus. Willing and ready to save. Ready to pull you up out of there. As He reaches down for you, grab hold of His hand. You got to meet Him there. You got to believe Him, receive Him. You can pull back your hand. He can reach down and you can pull back. There's no way He's going to say, get him on, get out of there. No, you must want Him. So as He reaches down in love as a holy Savior, and you're willing, and you need to go, I mean just ungodly and deserve to go to hell like me. He reaches down that holy hand, pulls you up out of there as you take hold and say, I believe, I trust you as my Savior. He'll pull you up out of the horrible pit. Set your feet upon a rock, which is Christ. And old things will pass away, and all things become new to you. When you get saved, you'll be walking in newness of life. You'll have a skip in your step. I mean, you'll have joy in your heart. I mean, you'll have the presence of God inside you. There's nothing like it. No substitute for it. You can know the Bible, you can know the Scriptures, and you can do all that, still be lost and go to hell. I tell you, it's not that way. You got to come through Jesus. He's the justified one. He'll justify you. And I want you to come to Him this morning. As we bow our heads, we go, Lord, in prayer. Everybody bow your head with me. The altar's open. Always open. Please come and come and pray. And talk to God. Saved, unsaved. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to put you on the spot. Nobody's going to come to you and say, well, you're at the altar. You want to be saved. We're going to try to talk you into this. No, if the message today, if the Holy Spirit hadn't dealt with you hard enough for you to really cry out to Him, then I'm wasting my time to try to talk you into it. This must be with a whole heart's desire. This must be with all your being. And you're sorry that you sinned against Him. So you're bringing a broken heart. And you ask Him to be merciful to you, a sinner. And if you'll do that, I promise you He'll save you. And you'll know you've been saved. I tell you, when that burden of sin, that heavy sin, has been lifted off of you, you know something has taken place. You know that something, I mean, has happened to you. And you'll know it's the Lord. You'll know it. It's Him that took it out of you. And I tell you, saved and unsaved, come to the altar this morning. I tell you, I'd love to come to the altar. And I want to pray about things in my life. I want to pray about situations. I want to pray about getting closer and cleaner. I want to pray about the Lord's power. I want to pray that, Lord, save those I've been praying for. I mean, the altar's open for all. And so we come to come and pray and ask God for mercy and for help this morning. I just want to give it a little thought here about who's going to pray to close this out. So just continue to pray as you come. I tell you, let's pray for the night service as we sing, and as those that play and sing, the Lord will bless and use it, anoint it in a very special way. Pray, brother, for our pastor this morning that he'll be able to come and be strengthened and to have some relief in his back to be able to be here. He's worked through a lot, and most of we all know that he's had that stroke. Some of them that's hearing this may not understand that, but he has had a stroke a few years ago. He's doing better. He's doing what he can. He is preaching at times. But we love him. We're looking for the Lord to continue to bless him and strengthen him and anoint him in a very special way again with a double portion of what he had before. And I want to see the Lord really bless him. So y'all, I'll be praying for that. God bless you. We're going to close out in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Albert to close us out in prayer if he would, please.